Okay, I hope you got your pencil and paper. The Los Angeles Times had a story January 30th. This is 17 days after the Air Florida crash. CAB, the Civil Aeronautics Board, Friday approved Air Florida's plan to take over Los Angeles-based Western Airlines. So draw a little arrow from Florida out to Los Angeles. They were trying to buy control. Air Florida had first 20% of Western and then 40%, and they want 100% of Western Airline that lost $69 million last year and hasn't given a dividend since 1980, so it must be some jewel. So Air Florida wants Western Airline. They find Minneapolis and Alaska and Canada and that route, and they wanted to control that. And they were given permission to take control of that by the Civil Aeronautics Board. But this Mr. Berg, Neil Berg, B-E-R-G-T, didn't like that. He's chairman of Western Airlines. He's their chief executive. And he assumed reins. He came to Western Airline in October and said, I want to be your director. And in December, he took over Western Airline, and he planned to buy an airline in Alaska called Wien Air, W-I-E-N, with some money he procured, $50 million cash, then put that down as payment for Western, and he wanted a hurried-up hearing giving him control of Western, but Air Florida won the competition against Mr. Berg. That is the first point, that there was this competition to take Western Airlines, and that this particular person, who's the chairman of the board since December, wanted control of it himself. His name is Neil G. Berg. Now, I don't know how many of you watched 2020, a week ago Thursday, Pierre Salinger was on talking about my favorite characters, Edwin Wilson and Frank Turple. The subject was Arms Sale Exposed, a 2020 exclusive. In spite of a U.S. ban on sale of military hardware to Colonel Gaddafi, 2020 has discovered that Libya has purchased three huge Hercules transport. How did they get them? Pierre Salinger will tell you the tale. Well, Pierre Salinger was on telling you the route of how Gaddafi got airplanes. There had been embargo in Murrieta, Georgia against Gaddafi buying these airplanes, these huge transports, but he got them anyway. He got three of the C-130 Hercules, and this embargo had been on 8 years. He got two of them, C-130s, through the Philippine government, who in turn worked through a Geneva-based businessman identified as Ali Hijazi. And Hijazi is the head of intelligence for Gaddafi in Libya. The third plane came from Alaska International Airways, which a subscriber to these tapes and a long follower of World Watchers was the first to call my attention to it, was that the Alaska International Airway that supplied illegally the Gaddafi airplane, the Hercules transport, was the man who then became chairman of Western Airlines and wants the control of Western Airlines. So he had this Hercules 130, and through an office in Miami, again, where Wilson and Turple worked, it went to Gaddafi, and it came out of Alaska Airlines. The arms sale exposed the program on the 2020. The ABC News tells about Alaska International Airlines in 1979, how they put their planes for sale through Miami. The plane went from Alaska to Miami, was supposed to go to Malta, and went to Gaddafi. Now, there can't be any claimed innocence about this, because the planes that went to the Philippines by way of the Swiss dummy front was nothing but an office with a door and a telephone, and the same man that worked, the arms merchants that worked in the operation through the Miami with Gaddafi, were also linked to the Philippine Swiss operations, which the Wilson Turple gang that sent the special forces people to fly the airplanes for Gaddafi. So the CIA was always supplying Gaddafi, and they came from this same airline in Alaska, the Alaska International Airline. Well, who is Neil Berg, and what's his background? Last Sunday, there was a large article in the San Jose Mercury and also in the Los Angeles Times. And Neil Berg, the chief of Western, called them in October 1981. He found out This is the man who one of his transports was down with Gaddafi. He found out that Air Florida wanted Western Airlines. And in October, he went to Seattle and said, I'm ready to become your next executive. By December, 3 months later, he became chairman and chief executive of Western Airlines. $52 million they had lost that first, just the first quarter, but he wanted to come in and take over. He had worked with Alaskan Airlines and had that company. Then he flew to London, where he hired a London broker and bought a fleet of the Lockheed Hercules, which in turn then were dispersed. Now, so many people go to London. Samuel Cummings of the CIA is there, Edwin Wilson's safe houses, the Nugent Hand money for the CIA, heroin connections for Wilson and Turple, the headquarters, are in London. London training of Carlos the terrorist. It's interesting that this mysterious Neil Burke goes to London to a broker house to get money for the fleet. So we don't know who he saw in London. According to these news articles, he was linked to the CIA. They accused him of working for the Central Intelligence Agency. And he denied he did. He said Southern Air Transport is CIA, and he's envious of their contracts. But he's never short of money. And he was in charge of Alaska International, this company. And he took some mysterious trips. He got special favors of this from the CIA. One person that worked for him had made some threatening comments about somebody that they wanted to shoot down, so-and-so. That man was arrested, and he went to the highest echelons of government and got him out of jail. And he said, I didn't use normal procedures. He got favors and got this person. There was some threat. I don't know whether these are authentic assassination teams or figure of speech, but you don't go to jail for figures of speech very often with these multimillionaire financiers behind you. In 1974, the Alaska International was posting their profits. Then he creates a holding company called the Alaska International Industries. Now, Edwin Wilson had about 127 dummy fronts, so it's hard with this story just breaking to know where he connects or how. The one thing they have in common was the airplane to Gaddafi, the huge illegal airplane to Gaddafi that these men were trying to get, Wilson and Turple were trying to get for Gaddafi. But he had Alaska International, then he created Alaska International Industries, which is construction, trucking, and other projects. Other projects in the multimillion-dollar field, you can almost be sure, with unknown money from London to buy these huge planes. He has what you call other projects. He's 100% sole owner, such as Howard Hughes or Daniel Ludwig or David Murdoch or these huge new multimillionaire espionage operators. There's a whole slew of them that seem to be surfacing recently. He got when in 1981 in June, when Air Florida wanted to get interested in Western Airlines, then he got interested in Western Airlines, and by December was the head of Western Airlines when Air Florida showed the interest in buying it. George Batchelor of Air Florida began buying stock in Western Airlines and wanted to build up a fleet. In the meantime, Mr. Berg purchased Wien, W-I-E-N, Air Alaska. Now, he came up with $50 million cash through a newly created corporation. No mention of what the corporation is at all or where he got the money, except of its possible links to the CIA. And he formed, it says, the Eagle International Corporation, another front, and Household International. He had a meeting, and in 4 hours after Household International, he had this Wien airline. He bought Wien Air Alaska, and he was, according to one story, he was going to use that, as I say, to purchase Western. But it was only when Air Florida wanted Western Airline that the man from Alaska who had the airline, who was a multinational traveler, sending airplanes to Pakistan, Botswana, he was all over the world, like World Vision, you name it. He had flights and cargo things going all over to these very controversial countries. And after 1980, he went on a trip about June 1980. He took a yacht with the highly powerful communication systems to keep up with his business. And he allegedly took this trip around the world and came back with a lot of money. I'm very concerned because in 1979, the end of 1979, when the Nugent Hand Bank had folded, they were left with $55 million to $1 billion in CIA money linked to Edwin Wilson and Frank Turple and Theodore Shackley and the CIA that was combined with Air America, heroin traffic, and powerful espionage and assassination teams that were doing military coups around the world, destabilizing Australia and funds coming from London and interchange between Australia. Now, somewhere that money has never been accounted for. William Colby, director of the CIA, was the attorney for Frank Nugent. And there's been a hush about that bank, but it will surface like the Michael Sindona one of these days. As I say, this man was accused of or mentioned being with the CIA. He had international interests. The bulk of his money came from cargo handling jobs after he went to London. So the man who stepped into Western Airlines when he found out that Air Florida wanted it has connections all over the world to major countries, lots of money in London. One airplane that went down to Libya to Gaddafi by way of Miami, which, again, the London-Miami bases that he hits are the bases of Edwin Wilson and Frank Turbell. Interior Airways up in Alaska became the Alaska Airlines. He moved into Interior and renamed it Alaska International, went traveling and made a subsidiary into the Alaska International Industries, took 1 year leave, went back and wanted to purchase Western, put his $50 million on Wayne Air Alaska, and worked with Eagle International and Household International, whatever the hell they are. I mean, there's all kinds of dumbly fronts and questions about his work. According to Langhorne Motley, U.S. Ambassador to Brazil, he said Berg flew cargoes to Bangladesh, Pakistan, Botswana, and other remote areas. You better believe. Can you imagine what other remote areas they were? Well, the Los Angeles Times has a large article on this, and it was copied in the San Jose Mercury. Another story, Western Airlines' new chairman charges after profitability but has setbacks. And this was 1 week before the decision of CAB to give Air Florida that favor. This is the Neil Burke of Western Airlines, who is trying to take control of the Western. He just moved in there in December. And it mentions again his Alaskan Airlines, the one that doesn't make the connection of supplying that plane to Gaddafi, but it goes into his problems. He thought he'd be cleared. He hurried the clearance so that he could beat Air Florida to the purchase of Western, but it was held up because they had some questions about his past, and they considered actions against him because when he wanted to buy Western, he didn't give full information about his interlocking directorships when he took the job at Western in December. You better believe he didn't give them information. It's like William Casey of the CIA not telling who his clients were and still won't disclose all of them, which countries he represents, and he's the director of the CIA, or Richard Allen of the National Security Council, not telling about his island, the Sanibel Island condominium with Fred Fielding of the White House, and Fred Fielding, the attorney for the First Lady and her husband, not telling about sharing condominiums with the National Security Advisor. They held up the hearings on Mr. Berg. They wondered about some of the background, why he didn't come through. He claimed he was financially successful because he had rescued Interior Airways from bankruptcy. But the point is, he comes into Western Airlines as a very polished, a man from the business world. Well, there's no trick to run to London and pick up millions of dollars, or Australia, to take a trip around the world, or South Africa or Botswana or wherever. The guy has unlimited money and unidentifiable corporations and all kinds of names here that have to have more defining. So is he a successful businessman, or is he like Frank Nugent and Michael Hand, who go from Southeast Asia, where they never had a bank before in their life, and open up a bank with $1 million and then $1 billion of CIA money and narcotics traffic linked to Richard Allen and Robert Vesco and these assassination teams? You take two clugs and put them in an office and you tell them they're brilliant, and the office runs itself for a lot of operations for the Defense Department. I'm sure that Mr. Berg is plenty bright. He's 45 years old. The first thing he did when he came into Western Airlines in December was to clean out all the middle jobs, 500 middle managers, and eliminate the dozen top executives. Now, this is a CIA operation to take over the route of Western Airlines. It may be economic to fire these people, but it may be to bring in all of your own people so you have control of the route. Air Florida had a juicy route. If we're going into a war in Central America where the control of the massive narcotics coming to the United States is coming in through Florida, they were going down to Costa Rica and Venezuela and Honduras and London and the Bahamas. And it would be very nice to compete if there were a possible motive, say, for wanting Air Florida down, and these people worked with those other people who are expertise at sabotaging airplanes, it'd be very nice to give them so economic problems and lawsuits that you break their back and you force them to go along with you. Now, Mr. Burt is meeting with the president of Air Florida in 2 weeks to decide what to do because he wanted control of Western and the Civil Aeronautics gave it to Air Florida. So they're going to have to meet head-on in 2 weeks to decide what to do. Another story, the Western Airlines needed money, and Mr. Burke put up this bid. Civil Aeronautics gave it to Air Florida. But there was an article in the Washington Post and the New York Times, Western wins an extension. A group of banks and insurance companies have extended $19 million more into a loan for Western Airlines without any collateral before from unsecured debts of $90 million. They put up collateral now of 29 aircraft, and they have 90 days to come up with money to pay back the loans. They're very much in debt, the Western Airlines. They have $27 million left and 100 out of their $120 million line of credit. They have to come up with a lot of money, and as I say, they lost $69 million in 1981. So why are they both fighting for Western Airlines? I believe that the control of this country or the taking of America has several steps that go through the process of, say, the last 40 years since World War II. One of the corporations that controls going in and out of airports is Wackenhut Corporation. They x-ray your baggage, the luggage, and do all the searches. They let everyone be examined except the hijackers who bring in these ridiculous guns and cause these hijackings, such as the Air Florida last week. A man wanted to go back to Cuba for a Cuba Libre and then came back home. They get through the gate. You notice there's no problem. The why the desire to take over Western that's so much in debt? Wackenhut controls who gets on and off of the airports, and the controlling of the passenger list of who's on the list, who's off, is very important to the CIA and the Defense Department if you are going into a police state. It's like the mix-up of the two passengers on the World Airways in Boston that hasn't been resolved, or seeing a body in the water and the Coast Guard coming up and saying, well, if he's not on the list, we won't bring the body up. And they still haven't found the bodies, the two that sunk at that time that plane went down. Maybe someday they'll come back to shore with holes in them. You know, there have been suicides that the coroner has described, and they've exhumed bodies and found bullet holes in their back. Why didn't they bring those men up? And on the Air Florida, there was one man flying under another man's name. It's very good for the intelligence community to control the airlines. And I think that if a man like this wants to control Western Airlines, or any of them want to control, any person wants to control the airlines in this country, we should really know where their money came from. Did they really work to compete with the American capitalistic system? Or does the CIA just give them $55 million and say, here, buy this airline, and with that, use collateral and buy another, because we don't want Air Florida. They're just too spunky, and they're making too much money, and they're putting us to shame. So, hey, you come on in and be director of this company. The man who was the director of Air Florida was so successful, it went to Pan Am that was failing. And as soon as they want to extend and get Western in a fair market to compete, then this guy comes down from Alaska and wants to take over Air Florida. This story gets very complicated because of his role of the plane going to Miami and then to Libya, and also his stepping into this company, this losing company at the time that Air Florida wanted it, and trying to hurry through the hearings. The article in the Wall Street Journal, Air Florida prompts further cuts in fares to Florida locations. That was January 25th. That was just days after the accident. The accident was on the 13th. Air Florida sparked the latest round of fare reductions on Friday. It slashed its fares between Florida, the Northeast, and Midwest cities. The daily fare cuts, when they were announced, caused Eastern Airline and Delta to meet them. Soon, Pan Am said, we can't be undercut by World Airways, and they shaved off $2 off their fare, even though they're losing money. The Wall Street Journal said Air Florida started the warfare by noting it made a similar reduction last year at the same time. Air Florida, Eastern, Delta, TWA reduced fares were effective immediately through February the 9th and on northbound flights from February the 13th. So Pan Am had to say right away, we'll reduce it to $77. So Air Florida is definitely giving them trouble. Now, these other people that are competing with them have lines in London, in Miami, in Libya. They have associations with the very people, have the technology to give Air Florida a lot of problems. They had the competitive edge on them that they didn't want them to come and move into Western. So the evidence is clear to me. There's enough evidence in on those tape recorders. Plus, one article that I have at home that I didn't bring in was the possibility that some of the tape, believe it or not, was erased from the flight recorder. But you get from what has been printed so far, that within 2 seconds, they knew there was trouble. Within 12 seconds, they were positive. There were noises that weren't right. They were ordered to go anyway. They hardly got off the ground. Then they went, crashed into the bridge, just right down into the bridge. And there was no reason for them. The ice had been checked. They had looked at the windows and so forth. And the main stories now of the Air Florida are out of the newspaper. Melvin Belli has taken the responsibility of carrying suits against Air Florida. Again, a man from Los Angeles who's worked with the CIA and with the intelligence system as a lawyer all his life has offered to help break the back of Air Florida. Now, they do have enough insurance money to cover most of this. I understand that they're pretty well covered for the insurance. So they're financially in a very enviable and secure place. But if insurance cases go on and on indefinitely, it's bound to hurt them. But the civil aeronautics weren't so concerned about that crash that they didn't go ahead and give them the approval. So now it is the president of Western Airlines. And as you see the articles of the fight between Air Florida and Western for control of it, because Air Florida has been given it, remember that this man only came in October. He flew from Alaska to Seattle to the Western representative and said, I'll come in and take charge. He then became the director in December. He has undisclosed businesses or dummy fronts. The sources of his money are not told. And I wonder about the yacht trip that he took in 1980, if he did stop in Australia, and where he traveled. It began in South Africa, that particular trip. Where did he get the money? Why did he step in? And if there is an air war, will other planes be safe, or will people be on Air Florida when they have other crashes? If they're that vulnerable, what comes next? Now, to wind up the program this evening, after the Air Florida, I have another article in the newspaper this week that is close to my heart and about summarizes what I've tried to say about agent provocateurs. And next week, I want to do some on Dozier, and I promised to do that this week, but I wanted to wind up the Florida, the bulk of it this evening. We'll go into the General Dozier fiasco, that ridiculous kidnapping. Incidentally, the three most notorious pictures of the week is in the newspaper. One of Mubarak hugging and kissing Alexander Haig. The other is Dozier with his fingers over his ears having to listen to rock music. He hasn't a thing critical to say about the brigades who kept him in the tent for 6 weeks, except that awful rock music. And the other is Nancy adorning New China for the assassin Mubarak. They have to have the finest to eat off. You know, nothing but the best for the killers. Okay, this is from the Washington Post. Kidnapping suspect seized in El Salvador. This is January 29th down in El Salvador. There was a kidnapping down there of a very wealthy person. A former major was arrested in regards of kidnapping Mr. Bustamante, a member of El Salvador's wealthiest family. The major who was arrested was caught picking up $4 million in a ransom for the kidnap. The former major was arrested in connection with the kidnapping of a wealthy landowner who headed, this major headed death squads with about 400 members, and they're accused in El Salvador of killing thousands of people. Another one of the articles says that he was the head of the death squad. The chief of police, the head of the death squad, kidnapped a member of one of the wealthiest families, and they put out a request for $4 million that they demanded. And this article in the Washington Post says many things will come out during the investigation, among them kidnappings and assassinations. We believe he had control of 400 men who acted as death squads, a high official said. The police said Reuter organized groups of armed men to give protection to local and foreign businesses. So he has government links to the paramilitary and the rightist group. So what was he doing? He was kidnapping one of these wealthy people in El Salvador for the purpose of blaming those terrible terrorists. It's like the SLA is the CIA, the CIA and the FBI kidnapping Patty Hearst to make it look like the radical movement in California was behind that. And, you know, I wrote a book-length article, The SLA is the CIA. Well, El Salvador has this notorious death squad where they train foreign police to go out and shoot, similar to the death squads in Chile, Argentina, and Brazil, those notorious death squads that the Nazi government and the CIA set up to terrorize and repress and to kill labor leaders, journalists, and so forth. So what business does he have kidnapping one of the wealthiest people there? Because then the newspaper can say how bad the terrorists were. All the papers in El Salvador can throw out, isn't this a terrible thing that these radicals have kidnapped this person? Then you take $4 million that's put in a slot for this chief of police, and he can take that money and recycle it into weapons. With $4 million, you can buy quite a few machine guns from South America and from the United States and from the mercenaries so that the United States can say categorically, we are not sending troops, we're only assisting. We're not even saying that anymore. We're saying we're going to send troops. I understand from somebody I talked to today that some soldiers from Fort Ord were sent down to El Salvador this week or just ready to leave for El Salvador. It's like Laos and Cambodia. We have troops there, but there's another article in the paper this week. Should the United States have a foreign legion? In other words, if Congress won't pass a bill that we can have a war against El Salvador, we'll send a foreign legion, which is trained CIA killers, and we won't have to even ask Congress for the money. You take the $4 million out of one till that the landowners have down in El Salvador, and you put it in the hands of the policemen and the death squad. And it was just a fluke that this guy was picked up kidnapping a prominent family, member of a prominent family down there, one of the wealthiest families in El Salvador. The person was kidnapped for 2 weeks and then was freed, and they described it as a special forces operation. And did you see, the other picture I liked this week was George Bush with the SWAT teams and the special forces in Washington, D.C. after that pet rock hit his car. But the provocateur angle has never been properly exposed at what length the far right kidnaps, blows up trains, blows up planes, sabotages it to make it appear that the left has done it. This has come out over and over again in the case of Carlos the terrorist. Trained by the CIA, and even a guy like Jack Anderson writes about the CIA protection of Carlos, how he can kill people all over the world or help kill the Jewish athletes in Munich or bomb airplanes and throw up bombs in Europe. Trained with weapons from Mitchell Werbel from Georgia, from Samuel Cummings from Pennsylvania to London, where he moved with offices in Monte Carlo. They train these people and give them the weapons, and then the news and the editorials all come out about terrorism. We get constant articles about the terrorism, but not the fact of who is behind them. And when there are articles linking the Red Brigades to the far right, to the Nazi connections, to the narcotic connections, which I'll try and do next week on the Dozier case and update those, to the international Nazi organizations, when we get those, we get one single one for every article that makes that kind of an allegation. There's 300 saying the terrorists come from Russia. Well, our time is up this week. It's another hour gone. You do your homework and study, save articles on Western Airline, Air Florida, and other items of interest, and I'll be back with you next week. This is Mae Bressel, and have a good week.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Bressel. This program originates from Carmel, California.
KLRB, Carmel by the Sea.